Have you ever made a cake with a potentiometer in it?
I have not, but our friend Lauren has.
Yeah, now I've seen one with my own eyes.
Now I've seen everything.
Now I question why don't more baked goods have motors in them?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to know that the baked goods do contain, and I will, do contain electronics, and I will specify that I don't know if Lauren did, but you should probably use lead-free solder if you're going to include circuitry in your cake.
I wonder if she did, because we ate that cake.
There is definitely lead-free solder. Well, we didn't eat the part around the soldering, so we should be okay.
That's a good point.
That's something I've just thought of now.
I was going to say robotized, but that, is that a word?
I don't think it is.
It is now. What other robotized?
People are going to be writing in to you with the correct word you're looking for here.
What other robotic baked goods would you like to see?
I think automated is, no. All right. Yeah. Robotic baked goods. I would just like to see a cake that spins so fast it destroys itself.
You can do that without...
And you kind of... Everyone just sits around it and you just open your mouth and just hope to get something good.
See, that's good. That's all right. I can appreciate getting cake thrown in my face.
Hold up. If you have no idea what we're talking about, you need to go to our Instagram page. Our friend Lauren made a cake with a little Lego man on top and a flag with a... Well, not a flag. It looks like a flag.
It's like a flag.
But it is a pole with a little towel that spins around to honor John Mayo of Team Sawblaze, winner of Most Valuable Teammate Award 2020.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Three-tier cake, I may add.
Yeah.
Three-tier cake. Green cake. In honor of Sawblaze, obviously.
It looked quite chaotic, but it was quite tasty.
It was delicious. One layer was chocolate. The others were vanilla. It was pretty good. Yeah, but she made the towel spin on top of the cake.
It was very impressive. I had no idea. And yeah, the fact that she had to order a part online for a cake, it's amazing.
I think she was saying that all of the, like, parts to make the towel spin cost less than the actual making of the cake.
Yeah, you can get some cheap potentiometers and circuits. So.
I can appreciate that. It was extremely amazing. My biggest concern, I didn't look at the circuitry work inside the cake, but there did seem to be a lot of icing all over it.
Yeah. I don't know if icing is conductive. Maybe someone should check the resistance of icing. And then we'll know. But
I want to see... Sorry, because you just didn't even ask me what I wanted to see, so I'm just going to tell you.
What do you want to see?
I want to see little cupcakes that have got wheels in them and they drive to you. Little remote control cupcakes that drive to you and you just get to pick them up and eat them.
Yeah, I mean, we have like Lego-based BattleBots. Why not sort of baking pastry realm dessert-based BattleBot competitions?
Yes.
I want to see somebody drill and tap candy canes.
Why is that a... What? I want to see flamethrowers that are ignited by birthday candles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The perfect pilot light.
Yeah.
There is some scope here. If you're a baker who also knows robotics, you need to pioneer this.
Honestly. Kind of take a... I think also take a leaf out of Royale with Cheese and just bring a big robot that looks like a giant croissant or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, there's just so much, like... chocolate eclair that I don't know.
It would just look like a turd in the battle box. Would it look like a chocolate eclair?
Yeah.
Imagine like a giant birthday cake that's a battle box.
Is cream a weapon? Is that allowed or is that count as a entanglement device?
I think it's similar to silly string, right?
Is it?
You shoot whipped cream at people?
Is a croissant the perfect wedge?
The croissant, I feel like, honestly, a croissant would be a similar design to Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Valkyrie, if you want an undercutter, the croissant is the perfect base.
Yes.
Oh, I really want to see this. Is puff pastry like ablative armor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I need to talk to some bakers and really hash this out.
It would be like a combination of shatter with their shattering armor, because all the flaky bits of the croissant would come off.
All the weapons would be like lightweight material. I'm not sure. Probably not like pastry, but I don't know, something. But then I feel like the tips of them would have like hard toffee candy, you know, to really deal the damage.
So, you know, I was actually just picturing robots, actual robots that look like food.
You could remake Ribot out of meringue, like 2019 Ribot, where he had the legs.
Oh, yeah. No, you can get like those weird little, I don't know if you ever, surely you have, you live in the same country as me, but the, those like little bakeries, and they sell all those super weird looking desserts, baked goods, whatever they are. And there's one, and it's just like a dome on top, but it's like all green and it looks like a frog. Do you remember them?
What? Oh, yeah, I do know that kind of cake. It's like a sponge cake.
Yeah, it's like a sponge cake.
But they just made it as a green dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good base. Yeah, it's like, you know, do you bake your own cake or do you go down to the bakery and get one? Probably better to bake your own.
I mean, because then you can put all the specifics into it.
Yeah, you need to learn to like bake a cake that is hollow so that you can put your components in.
I love that you are not giving up on the fact of this being edible after the fight. I was just thinking like, okay, now let's flip the script and we'll just make them actual robots. But you're like, no. It's all going to be edible.
No,
still.
My mind is just spinning with ideas of like, you know, you got to bake, you got to put like a chocolate platform. So you've got structure. Oh, there's so much crossover here.
Everything would have to be made with toffee, though, because toffee is the hardest.
Toffee is an important material.
Yeah.
Chocolate is an important material, and you want to make hard-tempered chocolate, you know?
But like, that also shatters really easily.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's maybe, like, your frame. Are there weight limits? I have some...
How much fondant can you use?
See, a flamethrower could be good because if the sugar content is high in the other person's robot, they will catch fire easily.
I like this idea, honestly. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. This could be a whole new arena of combat robotics.
What's the name of it? Is it, instead of Battle Bots, is it Baked Bots?
Yeah, Baked Bots. That's, yeah. You've nailed it. Beautiful. Or is it Pastry Wars?
Pastry Wars.
Oh, boy.
Possibilities are endless.
We could dedicate a whole episode to this. I don't want to stop talking about this, but we do have to move on at some point.
Yeah, okay. Let's go talk about this latest episode, the Sweet 16 of 2020/21's BattleBots.
Oh, boy. And... as a final note, I did have a point on John Mayo, is that can we get John Mayo a bigger towel for next season?
Oh, yeah, John Mayo, you need to get a bigger towel for next season.
Or like a golden towel. What I want to know.
He needs a bright green towel.
Saw Blazers probably already had their AMA. I should have known to ask. I'm just going to message John Mayo. He has followed us and be like, where did you get the towel? What is the story with the towel? Right. It's incoming, John Mayo. If you hear this, just message me first, please. But no, I'll be hitting you up. All right. The Sweet 16 2020 BattleBots bracket. Here we go.
First thing I need to say is that I found out, I don't know why we didn't know this, but 48 feet between the bots in the battle box.
Yeah. What is that in metric? Damn American numbers. That's 14.6 meters. That's pretty big, yeah.
That's pretty big. Honestly, I don't know why. I think it's just because the robots always look so much smaller than what they really are.
It's really hard to get a size. Like, they need to just put a banana decal on the ground. I'm always burping during the episodes. I don't know why.
You seriously never burp in regular conversation. No,
it's just while I'm doing a podcast. It's like I'm breathing wrong and I'm taking in too much air because I've got too much that I have to say. And the burps just come on. Oh, no.
Yeah, but not more bananas for scale in the battle box, please.
Yeah, they should put one in there.
Yeah. Just like on top of that little bit in between the screws, just stick one there.
Or just some kind of measurement device on the floor so we can always measure from any camera angle. I don't know. All right. Witch Doctor vs. Saw Blaze. Here we go.
I can't believe this one was straight off the bat.
This is straight off the bat.
I was just like, hey, here you go. Here's the beginning of the episode.
It was an awesome fight.
It was an amazing fight. Probably one of my favorites of the night, honestly.
And I mean, we saw Jameson go in his laser bedroom, rewatching this fight over and over. I don't know how you sleep at night. There's so many green lights.
I do really love that BattleBots have put so much production in, and they're just like, hey, so just stand in this room and we're just going to have heaps of lasers going everywhere.
There's
going
to be a shot of you begrudgingly watching this fight over and over. It's pretty funny.
And then I love the concept that you're like, yeah, that's just his bedroom. That's just
how, yeah, that's how I took that.
That's just how he lives. Oh, man, all of the BattleBots builders and drivers have very similar bedrooms.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but this fight was amazing. It was like Sawblazer's fight, and then it was Witch Doctor's fight, and then it was Sawblazer's fight, and then it was Witch Doctor's fight.
Slugfest. We saw this going backwards and forwards. Yeah, Sawblazer made some improvements to their ground game so that they could shift the weight forward in their bot, like Pete Abraham said.
They have really perfected their dustpan design. Like,
it's so good.
Like, how do people get past it? I don't know.
It's like, you just get caught up in it, and they've got, like, a little bit of a wall at the back, and it sort of arches forward, and there's no getting over it, you know?
No, you can't. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's really hard to get past.
Sawblaze got the first hits on of the night. They just scooped up Witch Doctor, took him to a wall, dropped that hammer saw into him.
Yeah, hit the front left wheel, I think.
No, they hit the ribs. First hit was on the ribs, directly on the ribs.
It was sort of in the front left wheel. I know it did hit the ribs, but it was aimed at that front left wheel.
I saw it just hit the ribs. I didn't see it hit the wheel at all in that first hit.
I don't think it quite got into the wheel, but I think it was on angle with it. I don't know. Maybe we saw different things. It is pretty hard.
Are you talking about the very first hit?
Maybe not. Maybe I'm talking about a second one.
Yeah, maybe you're talking about one of the other multiple hits.
There were many hits. Witch Doctor able to reset, though, and land a few really good hits on Sawblaze, popping them into the air.
Oh, yeah.
But a quick recovery from Jameson.
Yes, Witch Doctor was really trying their best driving tonight. Like, they wanted it so badly, and you could see that he was just trying to get away and get around, but
it's such a frustrating front section.
But then, at the same time, you kept seeing him just go headstrong into that front dustpan, and you can't drive up it.
Yeah, I think his thought there was, you know, if I back away, Sawblaze is so fast that I'm just going to give them the back section. They're going to scoop me up and land hits to the back of my robot instead of the front. Just hoping to do some damage to that front section, which we did see them get. They did bend up one of the middle forks, or the middle fork.
Yeah. But in the end, Sawblaze completely ripped off one of Witch Doctor's front wedges.
Yeah, landed an absolutely critical blow to the front with that blade, that
Hammersaw,
that's the word. With that hammersaw spinning downwards, it was able to catch it on the over, like, past that front wedge and just rip it forwards.
It was so good to see that. The perfect hit,
yeah.
And then we saw Sawblaze scoop them up, drive them around, and then where that front wedge was missing, just pound them with a flamethrower in that front wedge area.
Yeah, that can't be good for the robot. It was really a battle of drive as well, and Sawblaze just has such a powerful drive with those big wheels. They've got to have so much grip.
Oh, yeah. They have always had such a powerful drive, and they've always seemed to win push competitions like that.
Yeah, it's really their game to win. We saw some smoke eeping out of the back of Witch Doctor as they were being scooped sideways. Obviously, they're trying to get away. I don't know whether that was from the main weapon or the drive motors, but that's never a good sign.
Yeah, we heard Michael Galately say, ouch, at one point, and look over at Jameson, like, come on, man.
Yeah, brutal.
And then there was the point where their weapons, where Sawblaze hit Witch Doctor's weapon. Witch Doctor lost their weapon pretty early on, I think.
Yeah, they actually embedded it into Witch Doctor's weapon and were, like, stuck.
Yeah, and then you saw Michael Galately look over at James and was like, ooh, okay, I'm playing this game, okay.
Yeah, it was brutal. My takeaway from the end of this match, it went to a KO.
1 second left on that
KO. 1 second left on the clock. It just must be, like, it's a great win for Soul Blaze, but it must be devastating to beat your friends.
Yeah, I feel like especially devastating for a team like Witch Doctor, who probably expected to go the whole way this season.
I mean, it would have been devastating for Witch Doctor to beat Jameson as well, you know? It's, like, it's such a hard part of this sport, and that's why I think it's so good outside of the arena and the teams support each other so much, because when it gets down to the round of 32 competition and it's high stakes and it's knockout and you've been preparing for years for these fights, like, yeah, it's just devastating to have to see your friends say goodbye.
Yeah. Know? I wish that we were getting post-match interviews with the losers. Well, not, let's call them losers, but the non-winners.
That's a very safe word. I think you can say losers. They lost the match.
Yeah, but I wish that we were getting post-match interviews with them, because I just want to hear them say something.
Like, yeah, yeah. Have a bit of time.
But I mean, hey, Sawblaze is moving on.
We'll certainly hear from Witch Doctor. They're a very active team on social media across the internet. They have a YouTube channel. You can look that up. I'll leave a link in the show notes to that. Yeah, subscribe, stay in touch, because I love their content. It's really interesting.
They are, honestly, they're very good people.
Yeah, I love Mike and Andrea Galatly, and I'm so excited to see them next year.
Andrea and Andrea?
Andrea, yeah. I do probably say your name wrong, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I just want to make sure that I'm not thinking.
No, I think it is Andrea. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see Witch Doctor come back next season. They'll have a fire in their belly. They always have and they always will, but I think next year in particular. They didn't even make it to the finals this year, so I think they're going to come back with a vengeance.
Yeah.
But hey, Sawblaze is moving on. We get to see Mayo fling the towel at least one more time.
Oh, it never stops.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, Uppercut versus Ribbot. Oh boy, this was the best fight of the night, hands down.
Uh-oh, Fog.
Uh-oh, Fog. I cannot believe that. We saw underneath the, what is it, I don't know, plastic paper. It's just like a facade sheet of metal. A frog. I don't even think it's metal, no. Yeah, they had written on with Sharpie on the top of the robot, yeah. Like drawn a little, I don't know if you could call that a frog.
I don't even know if it's a frog.
It's kind of a frog. And written, uh-oh, Fog.
That's so good.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
Yeah, this matchup, I did not see it going this way at all. And,
no.
But boy, howdy, am I excited that it did.
I'm so excited. I saw Uppercut for the win here. But, you know, the tactic of just my face, your fist and full send is really paying off for Ribbot here.
Oh, yeah.
They immediately lost that left side wheel, then took some hits on the right. And that left side just got absolutely destroyed with another hit. Both the bots were just locked together.
Yeah, locked together for ages.
I mean, Ribbot was really able to just keep all of the hits being contacts with their main weapon.
Yeah, they were really, I'm going to put my face into your fist and your fist is going to break before my face does.
Yeah, they
even
did
even though
great.
My face did break. They really lost majority of their robot.
Watching this fight the first time, I didn't understand why Uppercut didn't sort of pull back when they were locked horns and reset for a new hit. But watching it back this second time, I realized their drive had already broken.
Yeah, their drive had broken at that point, and I think that's why the ref was so quick to count them out after they separated. But kudos to Ribbot for being able to drive with only two rear wheels.
Yeah, after taking that much damage, still being able to go, just crawling on, that's yeah. all you need.
That's all you need. It was such a fun fight to watch. There were some massive blows given from one to the other. It was intense.
I do not think David Jin expected that at all. It was a hilarious post-fight interview. Oh my god.
Can we talk about how much the Ribbot team swore as soon as they won?
I would be as well. It was pretty funny.
It was just beeps here and there everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been my reaction
Me
as
too.
Well. They were so excited and I'm so happy for them. I don't think anyone saw the frog going this far.
The frog won it!
Upset after upset. It's incredible.
Never underestimate a frog.
No.
This is what I've learnt this year. Never underestimate the power of a frog.
The power of memes.
The power of memes. I did appreciate the hammer hit between the two bots that eventually separated them. That was...
Yeah, that was glorious.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was right in between them and, yeah, it just blew them apart. What a stunning shot in the slow-mo that was.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wish Uppercut was able to put more of a fight. Like, I feel like for what kind of robot they are and the reputation that they've given themselves, I was expecting them to hit harder and hit faster and...
Yeah, really unfortunate. It would have been something small going wrong in that drive, and I'm certain the match would have gone the other way if they'd have still been rolling.
Well, I feel like even in the beginning when it was... Like, Ribot was super aggressive the whole way through, did not get out of Uppercut's face. Even the beginning, when they lost that first wheel, it's only because Ribot ran up and hit their wheel into their weapon. It wasn't Uppercut being aggressive in any way. And I so expected Ribot to go flying. I expected a frog to fly.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
Look, they drove really well, and they kept on them, and look where it got them. It was amazing. They might only have 2/3 of a robot left, and a lot of repairs ahead, but they are moving on.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Oh, good work.
They showed a little shot of Will Bale's face in the stands, and I just love it. I just read it. His face was like, I can't believe a frog is doing what I can't. I love you, Will, it is funny to watch your reactions.
A frog is doing what you can't. I'm so sorry, Will.
Nah, he'll be back.
Oh, yeah, back and more neon than ever.
I would love to see, actually, that is a dream fight, is Ribot versus Hypershock.
Oh, that'd be pretty fun.
That's a final level fight for me.
Oh, really? This point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can see Ribot getting to the finals.
Yeah, at this point, we'll have to wait and see. Alright, well, next up we have Bloodsport versus Tantrum.
This fight was interesting. This fight, I didn't write too many notes down.
I wrote a lot of notes.
Okay, good. At least one of us will have something to say. My main note is that I'm just so impressed with the little robot that could with Tantrum.
Oh, it's incredible.
They're so fast. They are so fast and so tough. They take a hit like it means nothing.
Yeah, hey, I'm taking some notes out of Gruff's book here, welding on some extra plate to the front, and that served them really well. Against the 76-pound, 1¼-inch blade of Bloodsport, yeah, they took all of these hits perfect.
Yeah, there was, I was excited to see that Bloodsport had another... They had, like, 4 prongs on this weapon. It was, like, 2 different weapons stacked.
Yeah, it's the weird one where it's got the shorter bit crossways with the other bit.
Yeah, stacked weapons, yo. That's how you play the game.
Yeah, I don't know if those shorter ones would ever really make contact, but it's possible. Aaron Hill's driving, though, it's just gave them no space to spin up. Bloodsport was also driving really well. They were being super patient to not spin the weapon when they didn't have room.
Yeah.
And I think that was really great that their weapon lasted to the end of the match, and that is why. Oh, yeah.
There was one point where they couldn't spin their weapon up properly because their little wedgelets were sticking up into it.
Yeah, their wedgelets got stuck up, but then they just got ripped off, I don't know, by their own weapon or by a blow from Tantrum.
Probably a combination of the two.
Yeah, I think a combination. that was really funny.
Yeah. Did Tantrum's weapon stop working pretty early?
Yeah, Tantrum's weapon did stop working pretty early. I think the drive on it that punches it backwards and forwards was maybe working for a little bit, but I think maybe they were just choosing to keep it forward because it's a big chunk of metal and it's a great thing to shove into Bloodsport's weapon.
I mean, that's not a lie. Yeah, that would be very effective.
We saw later in the match, Bloodsport lost a wheel much later in the match. And also, there was that bit with the pulverizer.
Oh, that was the best part of the match, honestly.
That was hilarious.
That's how you use a pulverizer.
Oh, some serious disrespect.
Just squash their little bar that they have to self-right and know where they're driving.
Yeah, just bent it right over.
It's so good.
Hilarious. It's like, I love that's kind of superfluous damage, but just really funny.
It's so funny.
I mean, it might have made it a little bit harder for them to look at where they were going.
And maybe it would have made it harder to self-right.
Yeah, yeah. If they'd have flipped them over, it may not have been able to self-write. That's true.
I don't know what the science and math is behind what this curve needs to be for the bar, but surely squashed is not the answer. There is
probably some interesting physics that have been calculated there of what angle you want your bar to be on so that you can self-write. I always find that fascinating, the way you see full body spinners able to spin up and then flip back over.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's really beautiful.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this match was great. And we saw Tantrum come out with a win.
Yeah, Bloodsport got one last hit and kept the weapon going all the way. But in the end, the aggression and control was all Tantrum's.
It was incredible to see this robot just drive the whole time, never die, and just keep on this other pretty brutal robot of Bloodsport.
Yeah, went down to a split decision, and my note here was that everyone's focus in the room when you're watching BattleBot is just so zoomed in on Farouk's mouth to see what consonant he will pronounce next. Like, is it going to be a B or is it going to be a T sound, you know?
Yeah, they do make very different mouth
forms. Yeah, that's the thing. When it's teams that have the start of their team name is a different mouth shape, it's like, oh, what is he going to say? I don't know. At least for me, I'm always riding on that first pronunciation.
So, you know what's wild? Is I just wait for Farouk to say the word.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I could just wait, but I'm just like, oh, I want to know so... I'd want to know now. Like, at least for me, that's where my head's at.
I don't know. I can appreciate how much...
I should do a drawing of Farouk's mouth. I don't know.
No, do not do that. Please, just draw his whole head.
No, it's going to be zoomed in. It's going to be called titled Split Decision, Graphite on Paper, 2020. 2021. Let me get the year right.
Oh, boy. Okay. No, look. All right. Do it.
I really liked Aaron Hill's quote, quoting his teammate at the end of this fight, that strategy is easier when you're comfortable taking your opponent's weapon to your face repeatedly.
I feel like Kenny really loved that too.
Yeah.
I feel like Kenny's like, that is a pretty good strategy. I've used it in the past.
I can relate. Those guys out there with little fists, I'm comfortable taking those to my face repeatedly.
Tantrum's the one with the little fists, though, and boy, howdy, do I love them so much.
They are good. Yeah, great to see Tantrum moving on here. So, Tantrum versus Sawblaze confirmed now.
Yeah, that's going to be... Can I be frank with you?
You can be Jim.
My name is Gretel, and I feel like maybe Tantrum's got this one.
Really?
I don't know why. I wish I could tell you what it is that's happening. But then again, I'm so bad at picking who's going to win. So don't listen to anything
that
I say.
You did do terrible this week in your personal picks in our Excel spreadsheet.
I did so bad. It made me a little bit sad. I don't know. I just feel like Tantrum's so hearty that they could probably pull it off, and they're so fast.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, Sawblaze maybe a little bit slower, but has great drive. I think maybe Tantrum does have the better drive here. However, Tantrum has so far been designed to take hits from horizontal spinners, I feel. I don't know how their top armor is, and Sawblaze has the reach that they could really do some damage in the bad places for Tantrum here.
Yeah, but we've seen Valkyrie right up on top of Tantrum and completely destroy their top, and they still were working towards
absolutely them. But that is a horizontal spinner with Sawblaze spinning down. I think that could spell disaster.
Look, we'll have to wait and see, but I don't know. I just got a feeling about the little bot that can.
Look, I'm all here for it. I would love to see Tantrum go forward. This is definitely going to be their biggest challenge yet.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. I'm so proud of Tantrum for getting so far in the competition.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
It's so good.
All right. What do we got now, Tigo?
Now we've got Hydra versus Gigabyte.
You don't sound excited.
Let me tell you what did excite me about this match.
Okay.
Gigabyte brought little devil horns.
That was pretty cute.
I really liked it. And considering that all of their merch is like, raise a little hell, I appreciated it.
Yeah, I do want one of those hats. They look very good on Matt Maxim.
Super NASCAR-looking hats.
Here's the thing about this match, before we get into the fight. Jake Ewert trolled the whole internet with his fake attachment picture.
He did.
That is very cheeky, Jake.
You know that he loves to be cheeky.
He's so cheeky. He had me going, I'll tell you what. He got us all.
Yeah, he had me going as well. But then he just brought that ridiculously chunky-looking wedge.
Yeah, I wondered about this because, I mean, as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, no, that is really good. That is exactly what he did need to bring to win this. And I wondered what he sacrificed.
For the weight.
Yeah, I think my thought is, because, like, why not bring that wedge against everyone? It performs great. But my thought is that his normal little wedgelets must do a better job at winning the ground game, but they're obviously less armor.
Well, I mean, yeah, but they would not weigh the same amount as this wedge. So I feel like maybe he sacrificed some extra air for...
Is it air? I don't really understand.
No, it's hydraulic.
We're not engineers. I don't know how Hydra works. I should look into it to understand it better. I think I will do that because it is a fascinating robot.
All we know is that it does work.
It does work, and it could be working better.
Apparently, he's not happy with it. And I'm like, you haven't lost a single match.
No, but as we know, Team Waiachi just looking to hit the top of the battle box with a robot for the first time in history, and that is a noble cause.
I don't know. We've seen robots fly and shatter lights before, so...
Yeah.
I feel like maybe they're just trying to get to the same level as Bronco with how high they can make him go.
I think they're already maybe past Bronco.
I don't know. I don't know if they are getting the height on Bronco. I think they're just getting the ground game on Bronco. And they're a lot more agile than Bronco ever was.
Yeah, they are driving excellent. Their driving in this match was actually some of the best I'd seen. Jake was doing a great job keeping that front pointed. And not much room for error here with a chaotic gigabyte spinning around the arena.
So once again, we saw a full body spinner kind of not really have any control on its movements. I really wanted Gigabyte to be heaps more aggressive. They were really, like, biding their time and trying to get the right hits.
Well, I will say, we did see aggression just right before the match. Matt Maxim actually deployed some psychological warfare here by sending a war cry towards Jake right before the match started.
And I love that.
That was some aggression.
Yeah, no, that was fine. That was good. But I appreciated that.
Yeah, no, you're right. We didn't see Gigabyte really going on the attack.
Yeah, I feel like they had so many open opportunities where they could have, but they just kind of, like, hung back and waited for Hydra to turn around and come towards them. And I'm like, what are you doing?
It's difficult. I think a lot of the time they were doing that gyroscopic rolling and their wheels don't have traction on the ground. They can't move at that point. It's a hard case for Gigabyte, and I think they like to build up the right amount of energy before they go on the attack too.
Yeah, we did see them lose a belt in the end, and they were not spinning up to their full potential, but still spinning up, I will say.
Yeah, I was shocked that they lost a belt and had more to go. I wonder how many belts are inside of Gigabyte. 12.
I don't know. That's just...
It could be. Maybe two.
You'd be smart to have 12, I feel.
Yeah, you at this point in the competition... If you don't have more than 4, because that'll spell you disaster, as we'll get to later, then you're... Yeah.
If you don't have 12 belts here in BattleBots, you're in big trouble.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
No, everyone just get chains.
So, Hydra missed that first flip, but... Boy, when they smashed Gigabyte into the side of the box, that rocked the whole arena.
Kenny is getting so terrified of these robots.
Yeah. He's used to fighting people, and if you have 500 pounds of metal coming at you, then I would be pretty scared too.
Yeah, honestly, it really shook the whole box. It was crazy.
You could see it in the slow-mo, the camera rig. That hit seemed insane. They said it shook their table.
Yeah.
Which is outside of the box.
It's attached to the box, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, I guess.
In some way. Everything's attached to the ground.
In the end, we saw a Hydra win. Shock, horror there.
Yeah, they're doing really well. Another 13 flip match. I will say, really impressed with the reliability on Gigabyte to take 13 flips and keep going.
They were really and truly a flying saucer this match.
It did seem, however, that Hydra's flipper got stuck upwards in the end. If that had happened early on, that would have spelled disaster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John Mulatnik has done such an amazing job of building Gigabyte. I feel like if they had a better opening, they would have absolutely been able to destroy that flipper if it was stuck up earlier.
Yeah, that would have been the time to attack. But usually when that flipper is on the upwards, you're also
on the upwards.
So
I would have loved to have seen Gigabyte, because Gigabyte was still spinning so fast while up in the air. It would have been amazing to see them land on top of Hydra. Oh,
that would have been beautiful.
But as Jake said, he moves out of the way straight away.
Yeah, he's driving really, really well. But Gigabyte, I'm excited to see them next year. This year, they were absolutely one of my favorite robots. They were incredible.
They really impressed me this year.
One of those old school designs, but just to see them with like modern components, how much better they're doing. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see them come back next year. I reckon next year, if they continue on the trajectory that they are, they could get into like the semifinals.
Yeah, they're doing amazing.
Yeah, they are doing so good. All right, let's move on to Black Dragon versus Tombstone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this match, a little disappointing.
Yeah, I wanted it to be more.
Yeah, I think everyone involved would have liked this to be more. It's not how you want to win, but a great win nonetheless. Tombstone brought their shorter black bar, the 72-pound bar used against Mad Catter. That bar is super tough.
Yeah, Black Dragon brought their egg beater design and a wedge that they made specifically for Tombstone.
Yeah.
Also, Farouk had a very weird
intro,
thank you, for Black Dragon about something about Brazil. And he's nuts. And I was just like, that was weird.
I think they were talking about like how
Brazil nuts?
Oh, maybe it is Brazil nuts. I thought they were maybe talking about how like crazy they celebrate, but yeah, it must have been Brazil nuts.
I didn't think of that. It was bizarre to me either way.
It was a little bizarre. That joke didn't quite land. We saw that Tombstone can make a great stepladder if you need to get out of the box easily.
Maybe that was the undoing.
Yeah, maybe stepping on the robot caused some damage there. You shouldn't have done that.
Imagine if that's all it was.
No,
Ray gets back to the pits. He's like, I told you not to stand on the robot.
Why is there a footprint on top of this bot? No, something tells me Tombstone can... you could probably jump up and down on that robot.
Probably ride on Tombstone.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to.
No way.
That's not child safe.
It's not adult safe.
Yeah, Tombstone, though, in the fight, doing his amazing fake outs.
Oh, fake out galore.
He's so tricky.
What a little tricky little trickster.
I'll tell you what, I want to see him try that fake out against Matty Vasquez, because I feel like he was quick enough to predict it, and he would just take Tombstone for a ride.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. I feel like Matty Vasquez has been waiting. Have they versed each other?
It's surely happened. I can't remember right now, but no, they've both been in it so long. We'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to go back and look, because I don't remember them versing each other in the past. So that would be quite a matchup to watch.
Yeah, I feel like Ray wouldn't pull those fake out things with Matty.
All right, but let's get back to Black Dragon and Tombstone.
That wedge did some work. It is a really strong wedge.
It is a hectic wedge. Also, Mana Duck has a little helmet on, which I appreciated a lot.
This is very cute. He needed the armor for this fight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. but wow, Tombstone lost their weapon so early.
Yeah, we saw Black Dragon get a nice pop-up on Tombstone, and then they had three more good contacts, weapon to weapon, and both robots lost their weapon.
Didn't Black Dragon have their weapon for a bit longer?
I don't think so, no. I think it was just still spinning after hits, but I think both weapons went down at around the same point. And then, yeah, Black Dragon just able to dominate the driving.
Yeah, look, Toonstone is not built to be a push bot.
No, Ray knows as soon as he's lost that weapon, it's pretty... He's hoping to have dealt enough damage by that point.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no, they took all those hits to the wedge and just did a great job.
Yeah, it was kind of, yeah, it was a disappointing match to watch. I wanted more from it.
I don't know. Yeah, I would like to think that the Brazilian boys would have loved to win that match in a more destructive way as well.
Yeah.
However, a win is a win, and credit to their driving, they really took Toonstone for a ride here.
They really took Toonstone for a ride. I really want to know, if Ray were to be the person making the rules, I wonder what the damage, control, and aggression... Like, I wonder if control and aggression would still exist.
Yeah, it would just be all damage, right?
Yeah.
Heavily weighted damage category, yeah. If Ray were to make the rules. Yeah.
But yeah, disappointing to see a previous Big Nut winner, Giant Nut winner, lose.
Yeah, the Big Nut is a lesser competition.
Yeah.
The Giant Nut is BattleBots, and the Big Nut is...
It's for the bakery.
It's for the bakery, yeah. What would the prize be for the bakery bots or pastry wars?
It'd be like a cronut or something. Like a big...
Oh, a croissant donut? Oh, yeah. It'd be the giant donut.
It'd be the giant donut! Oh, of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, okay.
It'd be the big donut.
Yeah. I'm sad to see Ray go.
Yeah.
I thought Toonstone might go all the way this year.
So did I, honestly.
Honestly, though, Gabriel and his whole team, just such great sports, so humble at their win. Obviously, huge celebrations, but then we saw them actually worshipping Ray.
I mean, and rightfully so. He is one of the best in the sport still. Even though this season hasn't been very kind to him, you can't discredit Ray ever.
No, it's great to watch him compete, and yeah, I just love the sportsmanship. That always makes it for me, just melts my heart.
Yeah, that is one of my favorite bits about this sport, is just how everybody is when they win. How people are humble and excited at the same time, and knowing that they've defeated someone as good as Ray, I'm sure that gives them a boost of confidence moving on.
Yeah, it took some really precision driving to take those hits on and land those hits where they did. Well done, Black Dragon.
Which means now it's Black Dragon versus Robot.
Oh, the dragon and the frog.
The dragon and the frog.
Oh, boy.
Who's going to win this one?
Is it going to be roast frog legs?
Or is it going to be...
I don't think there's an analogy for a frog eating a dragon.
No.
Maybe in Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Is it just going to be like, you know, when animals are really big and they're scared of the little animals?
Oh, yeah, like the elephant and the mouse.
Yeah, it's going to be like that, but it's the dragon and the frog.
I mean, this is going to be an all-out driving match. I think, you know... I mean, we see Ribot doing really good with two wheels. I think they're definitely going to lose some wheels here. I wonder what weapon Black Dragon will take. I think they'll take the lighter weapon with the two bars, similar to Witch Doctor.
Yeah, I want to see what Ribot brings, honestly. Because I don't know if they're going to be able to use their undercutter anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like they might just have to use their...
It is extremely damaged at this point, surely. Yeah. So, we may see them take their vertical. I think they drive better with the undercutter because the gyroscopical forces are, well, they make it easier to drive if they're not fighting on the turns.
Yeah, but I feel like even when they use their vertical spinner, they are still very good at driving.
Yeah, they're still a great, great driving bot, no matter what weapon they take. This is going to be an awesome match.
I'm excited to see it. Part of me feels like the frog can do it again.
They certainly can. We know they're going to be full send.
We know that they're always going to be full send.
And, yeah, this is just going to be who is the better, who's the better driver here. This is going to be an amazing match to watch. I am so stoked.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited to see that one.
My bracket is absolutely devastated, as is everybody's across the internet.
Oh, yeah. Ribot has just completely destroyed everyone's bracket.
Yeah, Ribot, Tantrum, and Black Dragon just really doing some damage.
Yeah.
All right, well, we've got Whiplash versus Valkyrie, the rematch here. Oh, boy.
It went a bit better for Valkyrie this time around.
Yeah, their weapon did keep spinning. That is certain. We saw Whiplash welding on some little tabs, some little bars here, perpendicular on their front wedge to stop Valkyrie sliding up over the front. And they did as advertised.
That was so smart. That was like, that's the kind of attachment that I like to see. Just little subtle things where they're like, this will help.
Yeah.
I don't need to bring a f***ing bike rack. Here's some tiny little tabs that will be crazy effective.
Yeah, I think Jake takes like a little sip of something every time he hears someone pissed off about that. He's like, nah, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's still living rent-free in your brain there.
We saw Valkyrie bring Dr. Cavity again.
Yes, got those teeth resharpened up. It's a great weapon.
I kind of wish they brought something different.
Well,
because, I don't know, the way that I see it is that Dr. Cavity has so many holes in it that, and we've seen it in both matches now, where Whiplash was able to get into it and control them with their own weapon.
You might be right. However, I think regardless of having holes in Whiplash, Whiplash doesn't need holes in your weapon to flip you over.
I mean, yes, we also saw that as well.
We saw how much they can just control the body of the other robot. And Dr. Cavity is a great weapon. It keeps spinning really well because it has such a high moment of inertia. Whiplash just got the perfect box rush on this and managed to get Valkyrie in the corner early.
Complete domination the whole way through.
My thoughts was early on in the last match that we saw, they were able to get some huge hits on that front wedge. And was it maybe Valkyrie getting stuck in the corner that blunted their weapon and caused them to do maybe less damage later on in this match?
I wish I knew.
Yeah, we're always left just with questions in BattleBots.
Yeah. I liked that Valkyrie was driving upside down for a little bit there.
Yeah, they were inverted for about half of this match.
Yeah, I kind of thought that that could have been beneficial to them.
Try something new, right?
Yeah, like, I feel like the height of that is good enough to get on top of Whiplash, but unfortunately we just didn't see them get that many hits. Like, we saw them get hits, but they were always just on that front wedge.
Yeah, Whiplash's control is just amazing. Able to almost surgically place them into the screws at this match.
That was beautiful, honestly.
I thought it was all over because he really parked them, like, facing upwards in the back of the screws.
Yeah, luckily those screws do reverse and probably caught the smallest bit of Valkyrie, but otherwise they would have just been stuck.
Yeah, that would have been a really brutal loss.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a brutal loss regardless.
I'm happy that it went the whole way. I'm happy that Valkyrie was able to go the whole way.
Valkyrie is an incredible robot now, like absolutely one of my favorites.
And I'm really proud of them for getting to the Sweet 16. And oh, yeah. I reckon next year they'll be able to go further.
Yeah, for sure. Valkyrie is one to watch in the coming years. That bot is so devastating. I just love it. Every Valkyrie match is sure to be entertaining.
They're so good. They are the robot that creates the most sparks.
And I'll tell you what we have now. Now we have Whiplash versus Hydra confirmed.
Yeah. Holy smokers. That's going to be a pretty hectic fight to watch.
Yeah. So they said they had a safe option and a more gambling but fun option.
Gamble it, Matty. Come on. I reckon he's one of the only people that has the drive to be able to beat Hydra at this point.
Yeah, so I think his safe option is to bring the same long flipper. Yeah, the same long flipper that he uses against Huge.
Yeah.
And that way he can have reach to lift Hydra early before they can get a flip off.
Yeah.
And, you know, get around the sides.
I want him to bring the weapon.
Yeah, I want him to bring the weapon too. I believe in him.
Yeah,
I believe he has what it takes.
Yeah.
I think Whiplash is going to have no trouble taking some flips.
Yeah, Whiplash is definitely going to fly into the air a couple of times. Yeah. But I feel like they're going to... Who else can do it?
My prediction, we're going to be seeing a very cautious Hydra in this match.
Yeah, I think so too. It's going to be... It's going to be good.
It's going to be interesting. I think Hydra is going to be in the corner, you know, trying to keep as much distance away from his sides as he can to not give Maddie an angle. But we've seen what Maddie can do. At some point, I think he's going to make an opportunity here.
I agree.
Well, this next match, Shadow vs. Mammoth. This one I really wasn't sure on. This was sure to be a difficult match for Shatter, and it certainly was.
Yeah, this matchup, I was like, either one of these robots could take it, honestly. Mammoth just completely envelops anyone that they match up with.
It is a great control bot. Really taken a note out of Megatento, Lisa Winter's old bot.
I love that robot.
That was just a kiddie's pool on the end of a robot that could literally cover the other robot. Mammoth, similar. They just really, once you're in between those tusks, they can just control you.
Yeah, and they were doing such a good job at just pushing Shatter around.
Yeah, although Shatter, it can be sideways and push back with those Omni wheels, and which is really cool. I love that. Yeah.
Because it's like, you kind of forget that they can do that, but then you think about it and you're like, no, wait, they're pushing. They're not just sitting there sideways. They're like actually pushing against this robot still. It's so good.
It was cool to see these jabs out of Mammoth early on, though. They were able to really punt Shatter across the arena.
Oh, yeah. They really put him across the arena. It was great.
I liked the way that Mammoth reset its weapon on a perfect sort of 45 degrees so that it's out of the way of Shatter and also has a little bit of ramp up to get that jab.
So good. I seriously was so impressed with Mammoth. Even though Shatter did get that really good hit on and break their chain, they didn't let up. They just turned into a push bot, and they're quite good at it because they are massive.
Yeah.
If
not for that shot, this could have easily been Mammoth's fight. Credit to Shatter taking some really good hits on some difficult to hit parts here.
They were really precise with their hammer hits. They hit that wheel. They hit the guards of the wheels. They were doing a really good job.
Yeah. And at the end of this match, it was maybe we saw that wheel just after the buzzer went off, that left wheel just fall off. Oh, that was a bit sad.
How much does after the buzzer go matter, you think?
I'm not sure. At some point, I imagine we will see a robot or hear about a robot exploding 30 seconds to a minute later.
Yeah.
Like, because just from electrical issues, because that could happen, you know?
It could totally happen.
I don't know. I think, you know, given that this was just after the buzzer.
Yeah.
And you can see how the robot ended, that might have been the little bit that pushed it over the line for Shatter. However, I think maybe it was Shatter's match here, regardless of that.
Yeah, no, but look, when we were going, it was a split decision and I didn't know who had it.
Yeah.
I was concerned. I was like, is it going to be Mammoth? They were very controlling. They were very aggressive.
They definitely won all the control points.
Yeah, no doubt. That's for sure.
And a lot of the aggression.
Yeah. It was the only thing I think Shadow won heavier on damage because, well, look.
They disabled their primary weapon. Yeah. And, yeah, they did land some shots to the wheels. Whether they took that wheel off or not, that is damage. And, yeah, I don't think Mammoth really did do any damage to Shadow. And we know how heavily weighted damage is this season.
Yeah. Either way. What an excellent and bizarre match that one was.
It was a lot of fun. Mammoth has quickly become one of my favorite robots, as has Shatter. Actually, both these robots are so exciting. Shatter is really bringing in the new era of Hammerbots.
Yeah. Also, let's just talk about Mary for a second.
Oh.
No poker face.
What a sweetie.
Honestly, just super, like, just loves that everything's going right, is just so there to support their partner and their teammates. And I love that.
It's nice, you know, these teams just put in so much of their own personal resources and time into these robots. It's lovely to see how excited they are and to see it all pay off for them. You love to see it.
Yeah. Congratulations, Shatter, moving forward.
All right. Endgame versus Rotator. Can I just say, I love hearing New Zealand accents on American TV.
Me too.
It is weird.
It is by far one of my favorite things. When you hear as like a New Zealand or an Australian accent on television, especially American television, there's something about it that is just so good.
It's just in amongst all the American accents. I don't know. I guess it's just familiar and you're like, oh, it sounds so like, well, that's the thing. We're really used to American accents because we watch so much American TV shows. So, and it's almost jarring. It's like, it's strange when I suddenly hear an Australian accent on TV. I'm like, oh, do we sound like that?
We absolutely do sound like that.
I don't really watch a lot of Australian TV because, I don't know, I don't really watch a lot of TV in general.
Yeah, no, you're not a TV man.
No.
I watch a bunch of Australian TV.
Yeah.
And it's weird when you're watching Australian TV and then there's an American there.
And it's weird when you're watching Australian TV and then there's a New Zealander there.
Actually, yeah, even that.
Even that stands out quite a lot.
Yeah, even that is quite different.
Anyway, I love it. I love it so much.
Can I hear some of your Kiwi accent?
No, because I'll offend all of the Kiwis. Oh, no. All right. Let me...
Come on. Your mum's listening. Do it for your mum, Spike.
Hey, Brew. Let's go get some fish and chips down the port. No, I don't have a Kiwi accent.
I know. It's because we're Australian. But I was just wondering if you could do one. The thing is, they're not that far off from ours, but hey, it is completely different.
It's the E's and the I's.
Yeah. Good. Oh, yeah. Anyway, thank you for that. Thank you for humouring me, Spike. I appreciate that.
No worries.
Okay, let's talk about this matchup, though. Endgame versus Rotator.
Oh, boy.
Rotator was driving super defensively this matchup, especially at the beginning when they turned around straight away to face the Wedgelets at Endgame.
Yeah, I feel like they were a little slow on that, and Endgame got some great hits on the backside of Rotator there.
Oh, Endgame got some excellent hits the whole way round Rotator.
Yeah, it was really brutal.
Lots of weapon-on-weapon hits, but unfortunately, Endgame lost their weapon 45 seconds into the match.
Lost all four belts.
All four belts.
All four belts.
Gone.
Not good.
Yeah, and then they just... I don't know, but after they lost their weapon, they just turned into bigger bullies, honestly.
Yeah, they just went full aggression. They knew full what they had aggression, to do. Yeah. And at some point, able to just drive Rotator into the walls and into their own wedge enough times that they broke Rotator's weapon. If not for that, this would have been Rotator's fight because damage is so heavily scaling. Although, I mean, it probably would have been a split decision, and I can't say how it would have gone if they didn't break Rotator's weapon, but...
In the end, it was a split decision.
It was still a split decision, you're right. And the aggression and control, though, the driving was just amazing.
Yeah, it was... This match was actually really exciting to watch, because even though it just turned into a push match towards the end, it was really fun to see that Endgame does have the drive in them to be able to control another robot like that.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw Endgame on the scene a couple of years back, like, their drive was just... Something was really wrong. The robot was could not spin up the weapon and drive at the same time.
Yeah, no, like, they were having real issues at the beginning. Really,
but look how far they've come, you know? Yeah. It's great to see these bots evolve and just level up their game.
Yeah, they sure did level up.
I really liked in this match that they traded pulverizer shots. Yeah. Rotator got a great one on Endgame, and then later on Endgame able to give that back and equalize the points there.
Yeah, I did appreciate that too. That I feel was like
every
good.
Time every time we get a pulverizer shot, it's like a little half point.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's good.
Not that I feel like the pulverizer shots really do that much.
No.
But it's still just like you're controlling the match to the point where you can get them underneath a hammer.
I really wish they'd just get a big like can of tomato soup and put it under the pulverizer just to see what it could really do, you know?
Yeah, I want to see more demonstrations on what the pulverizers can do.
And the kill saws. They should get like some wood panels and just lay them over the kill saws and see them come through.
I don't know why, but the first thing that I thought of was get a loaf of bread that isn't sliced and slice it on the kill saws.
Just still in the pastry wars zone.
Yeah, look, maybe I'm just hungry. I don't know.
It is lunchtime. All right. Well, that went to, split decision, Endgame's way. We have Endgame moving forward. And Rotator brought a wacky waving inflatable man, a tiny one.
A tiny one, handheld.
That is the last note I had here.
My last note was that Rotator's weapon lasted longer, but they were just bullied in the end.
Yeah, they were just bullied in the end. Sad to see Victor Soto go home. They're such a great robot, Rotator is.
Oh, yeah. But boy, howdy, am I excited to see Endgame continue on.
It's going to be exciting.
I love those two boys. They are so good.
Yeah, they have a good time. The whole Endgame team gives me so much cheer. And yeah, now we have Endgame vs. Shatter confirmed. What's your thoughts on that?
I've said it at the beginning and I'll say it at the end. I feel like this season is Endgame's to win.
It's really looking that way.
Their weapon is so good. I mean, yes, it broke, but we'll ignore that.
They're the only part of my bracket that I still have going forward semi-correctly. Obviously, they're not fighting huge in the final. I don't know how that happened.
We know how that happened.
But yeah, they're really pushing it. However, I'm nervous for them. Versus Shatter, I don't know how much top armor they have.
I don't think they have much at all.
No.
I am nervous for the hammers as well. I feel like and Shatter is really good at pointing that hammer exactly where they want it. So
we've seen that Shatter has the armor to take on vertical spinners. I think the best Endgame can hope for here is a ring out or to hit Shatter while they're upside down.
That would be nice to see.
Yeah, and do some damage to the bottom and the sides, because then their armor won't be as in as good effect.
Yeah, I would love to see Endgame be able to knock the chain out of the hammer.
That would be interesting.
That would be nice.
If Endgame can... I mean, Shatter's going to maybe want to have weapon-on-weapon hits, but if Endgame can disable Shatter's weapon with some weapon-on-weapon hits, that could also be a good win for them.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one for them.
Yeah, especially with the armor that Shatter has. Like, that's not easy to get through.
What is your prediction, Tigo, for the final at this point?
I think it's going to be Endgame versus Whiplash.
Ooh, all right. I'm hard-pressed to disagree with you, but if I had to give an alternate opinion, I'm going to say it's going to be Shatter vs. Ribot. The frog is going all the way, and it's probably going to be Ribot for the win.
Ribot for the win?
I want to see David Jin hoist the giant nut. That would just make my year.
Are they going to dress the giant nut up like they dress Ribot?
They're
going to
put frog eyes on the giant nut. Going to be beautiful.
I would love to see that. No, but I feel like Endgame, they're gonna take that giant nut back to NZ, no problem.
Yeah, it really is looking that way. Endgame is a brutal robot, and just the energy in that weapon, it's so powerful.
So good.
It spins up so quick. They're looking great for the win here.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the end of the episode. Next episode's the last one, Spy.
This is the last one. We've had a lot of AMAs that we have let go at the moment. We've just been very busy. It's possible that we will have time to get an AMA episode out before the last episode, so there could be two more, but we'll see how we go.
I was talking about BattleBots. I wasn't talking about
us. No, I know. It is the last episode. It's so exciting. I've had the best season.
I've been having so much fun watching it this season. And being able to talk about it on a podcast as well. I've been having a good time.
It's a good time. Next episode of... Not next episode. Maybe... Well, whatever our last episode is on Bots, 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 we will discuss what we are going to do moving forward.
Yeah, we're not sure. We'll probably have a break, to be completely
honest.
Yeah,
we'll probably have a little break, but more things to come.
Yeah, for sure.
The podcast continues on.
Yeah.
I'd like to say thank you so much to all of our fans that are listening in. Dear listeners, you make both of our weeks every single week. We love talking with you. Yeah, thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, thanks for listening to us two doofuses talk about robots that we know nothing about.
You know, it was a dream of ours last year. We were just sort of jokingly talking while watching the 2019 season of, like, what if we did a podcast? And, you know, I could never have imagined that we'd be on our 25th episode of a podcast about combat robots. It's just really, It's amazing.
Yeah, you've all been really supportive, and it's been nice to get to know some of you. It's been nice to get to know some of the BattleBots teams as well.
I can't wait to interview some more BattleBots teams if, you know, one day when we have more time and more preparation. Yeah, I'm excited to see where this goes.
Me too. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks to you, Tio.
Thanks to you, Spike.
Thank you. All right, so tidying up, last business.
Yeah, so if you want us to be able to interview more people and you want us to be able to continue this podcast, we do have a donation situation set up. You can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/bots.
Yep, you'll get there. There's a link in the show notes.
So all of that money is really helpful. We don't expect anything or anything, but
no, it's hard times right now. Please don't feel like you've got to donate if you don't have the money. Yeah, but we appreciate it so much. You can also email us at botsbotsbots.podcast@
botsbotsbotspodcast@gmail.com.
Oh boy.
It's only been a couple of episodes.
it's only episode 25. One day I'll know our own email.
You can like and subscribe and do all of the rate and review and do all the, I don't know. But do it over at Apple Podcast. Apparently that's the spot to do it.
Yeah, if you want to leave us a review, that really helps us. But yeah, that's all. You can find us on all the socials and hit us up. We love to chat.
Yeah, I love a good chat.
Tell me what your please write me and tell me what your pastry wars robot would be. What would your battle dessert?
Tell us about your battle dessert.
I want to know.
I want to know too. Because
I need help brainstorming this.
Hey, so you know how you wanted to make a fire robot?
Yeah.
Your towering inferno.
Yeah.
What if it was a bombalaska or whatever that...
I'm sorry, a what?
Oh, what is that name of that dessert that's on fire?
I don't know it.
It's like a bomb... I think it's a bombalaska... A bomb...
Do you want to look this up?
It's not a bombalaska. That sounds pretty hectic, but... That one there, what's this that? One? Yeah. Yeah, what is that? A baked a flame. I always thought it was like a bomb.
Okay, so it's not called a bomb Alaska. I think it's called a baked Alaska.
I swear I've heard people call it like a bomb Alaska.
You'll never live this down. I'm Spike Ticknor.
I'm Tegan Kinder.
This has been Bots, Bots, Bots.
Thanks for tuning in.
We'll see you next time.
Oh, I swear it's called a bombalaska.